B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We'll begin with this. A 21-year-old Yorktown man told police he was target shooting in the hallway of his home when one of his bullets entered his neighbor's shower where a woman was bathing. Officials said no one was injured from the incident. Connor Scanlon was charged Sunday with first-degree reckless endangerment, a felony, and he was firing bullets in his home, piercing the walls of his neighbor's home.
So you can't shoot in your own home, even if you're just target shooting?
I guess if it goes into your neighbor's home, you can't. Scanlon
was my country.
Was arrested and arraigned. He was released on his own recognizance.
Wow.
Scanlon's neighbors called police when they heard loud bangs and repeated hits to the side of their home. Police responded and found several bullet holes in the siding of both Scanlon's home and the adjoining house. The 21-year-old told the police that he had been shooting the .22 caliber rifle in the hallway of his house.
Yeah.
Police took the gun along with several other airsoft rifles and related paraphernalia.
I'd take that stuff up into the attic.
The rifle is a legally owned weapon, but he's facing charges because of that. A woman climbed into an alligator pit with her young son, who wandered freely near dozens of gators while she tried to fetch her wallet, and a bunch of kids watched in horror. The scene played out at Safari North Wildlife Park in Brainerd, Minnesota, with stunned onlookers watching the mother and son risk life and limb. The woman's wallet was floating in the middle of the small pond, chock full of gators, and her daring son was dangerously gung-ho to get it back. The kid came up empty, but Mama stormed in to make the rescue. And about the only smart move she made was figuring out a way to distract the sharp-toothed animals long enough to grab her floating wallet. Fortunately, mother and son survived. The zoo is not laughing about it, though. Sources close to the wildlife park say that staffers did not know about the incident until the video started going viral. And park honchos are very disturbed about this.
Isn't that sort of the unspoken rule in most places like that? If stuff falls into any of the containment areas, you're allowed to go in and get it?
Just of course.
Yeah.
Going to the alligator pit.
Sure.
The zoo once pressed charges against a woman for child endangerment if she is indeed identified. Well, here's our mask hole story of the week so far. This took place in a Verizon store. In a 911 call, you hear a dispatch operator tell an officer three people are refusing to leave not wearing a mask, and they've asked several times, and she refuses. This is the dispatcher telling the police officer. About 3 minutes later, the operator tells the officer, they're calling back, they're advising us that the female is pulling down her pants and is now urinating inside the business.
Cool.
Michelle Davidson said, that is totally inappropriate. We are not animals. Police got to the
scene.
That's
inappropriate.
And they confirmed the incident. Officers arrested the woman after finding several stolen items from a nearby Dick's Sporting Goods store in her vehicle.
Uh-oh.
Kelly Berger said, I don't really have much to say except that's probably not the right way to react to it. Simply wear the mask or leave, I guess.
Well, this blows my mind. You're robbing places and you refuse to wear a mask? You have the best thing. You're wearing a mask.
Honestly. She an idiot. Verizon spokesperson says the company is requiring all customers to wear masks in their stores. A Northern Michigan restaurant lost thousands of dollars in sales after a busboy said he had COVID-19, but the employee simply wanted a day off and had lied about it.
Couldn't have gone with diarrhea, could
he? No. David Hritko, the manager at Timber Seafood and Steakhouse, said it was heartbreaking. I worried about my staff. I worried about, now do I have COVID? Timbers was forced to close on Friday and Saturday after the COVID-19 claim and had to cancel a wedding rehearsal party as well. Yeah. The timing was terrible for the restaurant, which is trying to recover during the peak summer season after months of being closed.
Said the financial hit was devastating, right?
Fritko said, it's our second busiest week of the year. The employee confessed to the lie on Saturday night. He said he doesn't know what he did, and I feel terrible for him because this is a young kid that made a mistake, and now it is a police matter. So,
wow.
You don't go lying about that one, gang.
And you don't go into the gator containment area.
That, too. It's kind of a lengthy story, but follow along. A man who cut his neighbor's garage in half with a saw was on friendly terms with the man who built the structure, just not with everyone who lived on the property after he died.
Okay.
Gabriel Braun used a land surveyor's demarcation between the two lots as a guide to remove half of the building sitting on his land when a dispute over the boundary line boiled over.
So he literally cut the garage in half.
Yeah, he did. Tracy Braun said on Thursday that her husband's actions on the day after Memorial Day marked the latest, and they hope the final, step of an often contentious relationship between her family, others in the neighborhood, and various inhabitants of 148 Grove Street in recent years. Now, it's important that I give you the address because there are two distinctions here. So Braun and her family moved back to in 2012 to live in the home where her husband had grown up at 140 Grove Street, a property that once included the 0.23 acres just to the south of what is now 148 Grove Street, where a small home was added several decades ago. The Braun's relationship with their neighbors was fine until the former owner of 148 Grove Street, Steve Ritter, died in late 2016. Now, Ritter's wife, Teresa, took over the sole ownership of 148 Grove Street. And while she became an infrequent resident, Braun said relations had been strained when others who had rented or otherwise frequented the building since. She said, as soon as that poor man passed away, this place turned into craziness and chaos. The Braun's unsuccessfully tried to purchase the 148 Grove Street property in one attempt to resolve their issues. The property line dispute gained momentum in April when the Braun's put down a load of wood chips near. It's always something like wood chips, right?
Yeah, that always sets me off.
Near the previously established boundary with 148 Grove Street in order for a tractor to travel the downhill grade in the back of their lot to clean up some stuff. So Steve Ritter's youngest son, Blake, soon planted a stake in the ground where the chips had been placed. And he said, this is our property. Get your stuff off of it. So we had to call a land surveyor. The surveyor determined that the dividing line between the properties was actually in the center of 148 Grove Street's driveway and right through the middle of the garage. Wow. So the day the surveyor came, she said, and set up the pins, the tenants that were there packed up and moved out that night. Another surveyor came and it had similar results. And by Memorial Day, Braun says the younger Ritter asked if he could retrieve his father's ashes from 148 Grove Street. We said, please do. We want our property back because we've been paying taxes on it for years. She said, but he went over there and he started throwing trash all over the place and smashing glass and taking bureaus and throwing them outside the yard. Well, the next day, Gabriel Braun, who works in construction, took a sawzall and skillfully cut half of the garage running down the property line and removed it and then left the remains on the other side of the surveyor's line. So we have a picture of it.
Yeah, you can see it.
Cut it right down the line. The Braun's have installed a partial fence with cameras on their side of 148 Grove Street and plan to extend the divider to the brook at the rear of their lot. So it was something that had been bubbling, and once they got the official word, they took care of it with a saw.
Yeah, in a very precise way.
Yep.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
Police in Delaware say a 12-year-old boy stole a pickup truck from a gas station and led officers on a high-speed chase. This was on the 18th.
How high speed?
They didn't indicate in this particular story, Steve, but he must have been moving. Delaware State Police say that the boy stole a 2003 Ford Ranger while its owner was using an ATM at a Wawa gas station, and that was in Newcastle. And police have not yet released the boy's name. They say the boy refused to stop the vehicle, then crashed into a parked car, did a U-turn, then sped up and crashed into the guardrail after failing to make a curve.
You're not going to take me alive.
He then exited the truck, Steve, and he ran. He fled on foot before he was arrested by troopers. Police say he does face multiple charges, including three felonies, man, at 12.
Wow.
Yeah. A large pool float isn't going to be very safe on a big river. A man and a woman had to be rescued by New York City firefighters on Sunday when their commercial raft, which, by the way, was shaped like a giant swan, was sucked into the East River near the 55th Street.
Stop looking at me, swan!
I've seen those suckers. They're huge.
The FDNY dispatched a boat to rescue them around 4:30 in the afternoon after officers were informed that the pool toy had unwittingly sailed into heavy marine traffic.
Oh, God.
The couple was evaluated by EMS workers.
You're idiots.
When they returned to the shore, no injuries were reported. Oh, pool float. Three people face drug charges after officials from three agencies searched the car and home of a woman seizing about $12,000 worth of heroin and other drugs, as well as a live alligator.
Mm.
Jessica Hutchins was outside the Beverage Mart when officials observed her allegedly selling crack cocaine to a man. Armed with a search warrant, and the officials had impounded the black Chevrolet Cobalt and took it to the sheriff's office, and they found 100 grams of heroin, crack cocaine, powdered cocaine, and fentanyl.
They're drug dealers, and they have a Chevy Cobalt?
Yeah, as well as digital scales, cash, and other drug-related paraphernalia inside the car. They searched her apartment. Sees about 4.5 grams of crack cocaine and powder cocaine, along with drug packaging material, digital scales, cash, and drug paraphernalia. Police also said, we also got an alligator out of the home. The 2-foot-long wow. alligator,
or 2 foot,
which is being housed in Rubbermaid tubs, was taken to the Marine Warden Service. Having an alligator in Maine is illegal if someone does not have proper permits. And drug dealers, I mean, people are really, they like to have bizarre,
tigers,
exotic big
right.
animals.
Scarface,
right?
Like the alligators. But like, you remember, like in Miami Vice, remember he had an alligator yeah. on his boat.
I don't know what the deal is with that.
Not 2 feet.
So, have you ever had a reason to break into your own home? Yes, I have. Locking keys inside, things yep, like that.
Likewise.
But a man in the UK recently did so, but it was because he was worried about his kebab getting cold.
As in, like, shish kebab?
Yeah, kebabs are a big yep. Thing in Britain. Reese Barr apparently drank at least 20 pints of beer and at least 5 Jaeger bombs.
Whoa. Jesus.
Before returning to his home in the early hours of July 12th, he figured out that he was locked out of the house, and then he tried to sleep in a bar that he had built for himself in his backyard, but he couldn't get comfortable.
I can't get comfortable. It's about my kebab.
So he grabbed a 20-foot ladder and leaned it against his bedroom window. Security camera footage shows him breaking the window with a mallet and holding a bag with a kebab inside of it with his other hand. He then throws the bag of food through the broken window before diving in after it. He says when he woke later on, he had no idea how he got into the house until he watched the footage, and he adds that it was worth it to be able to eat his food while it was still warm.
Oh, so the fact that he even remembers doing that
made all the difference for him. You guys may have seen the video of this, but news anchor Marichka Padalko, she was giving a news update on the coronavirus crisis on Ukrainian television when she felt a tooth come loose while she yeah. was speaking, Steve.
Yeah, I got this a load of times, and I said, she's an amateur.
Same thing that happened to you. Video shows she caught the tooth and continued talking as if nothing had happened. Many people continued watching, unaware that one of her front teeth was missing, but some viewers noticed and posted about it on social media.
I pointed out that I was a badass because it was a straw that took my tooth out.
Padalko saw what people were saying and replied, yes, I really lost part of my front tooth during the broadcast today. This is probably my most curious experience in 20 years as a presenter. She later explained that it had likely happened as a result of an accident which happened more than 10 years earlier involving her young daughter.
There was years ago on Eyewitness News in New York, there was a dude, one of the old newscasters, the old anchors, his entire bridge came out.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he was like one of these kind of things, you know, and he just could not continue the news.
Oops.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. One last story. You'll like this, Steve. There's loving John Wick.
Yes.
And then there's our international drug smuggling concern was potentially brought down because we wanted to slip a cute little reference to John Wick in our cover story yeah. situation. So it's a drug bust that recently happened in Italy in which Italian cops discovered a bag filled with coffee beans that had all been cut open, hollowed out, filled with cocaine, and then resealed to hide the drugs. The scheme was undermined and discovered because cops noticed that the fake name they slapped on the coffee bag, Santino D'Antonio,
yes,
was also the name of the sleazy bad guy Ricardo Scaramicchio plays in John Wick Chapter 2.
Yes.
So they picked up on that name
that
alone,
reference, and they, wow.
And they were like, this isn't real. And they looked, and sure enough, full of drugs. So that was their undoing. Yep. All right, and then one last story, and there's a video of this. Chloe Mesumeci sent a video of a woman tripping and falling as a bison charges at her and another person in Yellowstone National Park. When she hit the ground, she played dead.
Did it work?
And it worked, Steve. Chloe said in an email Friday the incident happened at Nez Pierce Creek.
Yeah.
She said the woman is a Montana local, so she knew to play dead in that situation. The woman was reportedly uninjured and escaped without a scratch. No further information about the couple charged by the bison was immediately available. But it's funny because she hits and boom, she stays still.
Wow.
And they leave her alone.
There have been a number of stories recently about people getting far too close to these bison.
Yeah, they get gored.
They're getting gored.
He charges her. And then as soon as she falls and plays dead, he just kind of sniffs her and like runs away.
Yep. Oh, my God. Jesus. Oh, Christ. Yeah, I got a word for you. It's called douche.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I mean, there's some nasty smelling stuff out on the plains there. But
yeah.
Come on.
I live in the wild and nothing I've ever smelled smells like your crotch.
Oh, it does work, though. That thing, you know, we were watching the footage. You got to realize this thing is a car with legs.
Yes.
Just stay on the trails. Stay away from wildlife.
You know. Oh, they're so pretty.
God, I hate these people so much.
I know. Man.
Well, they're also going to get the animal killed.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you guys see, and they were on the trail, where the bear, there were like two women that were standing there, and a bear walked up to them and was basically swatting at the one.
Ooh, kind of inspect.
I'm a human. Look.
It was kind of like that because the bear stood up on the hind legs.
Looked like it was mocking the humans.
And is kind of inspecting her.
Look, I'm a tourist. Oh.
Yeah, totally.
Right? Because they're walking along and they're unaware.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm on vacation. Huh?
The one girl basically turned her back on the bear like, I can't see you.
Right.
Have you seen the footage of the bear? It's from a security camera in a living room.
Goes into the house.
And the door goes, and the frame gets blown right off, and the door has just been pushed in by the bear.
Yeah, it's like the cops were about ready to raid a drug house.
Bear squad.
It flies open. The door absolutely shoots open. And this bear, and then he just kind of wanders in.
They do have that kind of look, right?
They do.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.